Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Mark Driscoll is a fascinating person, a great man of God with a very interesting story and an interesting odyssey the last few years. Hello, everyone. I'm Steve Strang, and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report. Mark Driscoll was in my office recently talking about some upcoming projects that we're going to be working together on that we will announce later. And I invited him into the podcast studio to talk to me about what's going on in his life and ministry, and especially to answer some questions of things that have been in the press recently. So I know you'll be fascinated by what he has to say. He's a great communicator. It was a great podcast. So after this word from our sponsor, stay tuned to hear from Mark Driscoll.
Regent University is one of the fastest growing universities in the nation, experiencing 21% growth from summer 2016 to summer 2017. This fully accredited university offers associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees within an innovative learning environment that includes the option of enrolling solely on campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, 100% online, or using a blend of both. Since its establishment in 1978, Regent has equipped 23,000 alumni from 125 countries to become accomplished professionals. Guided by a mission of Christian leadership to change the world, the school prepares students with the knowledge to excel and the faith to live with purpose. To learn more or request information, visit www.learn.regent.edu. That's www.learn.regent.edu.
Mark Driscoll, you're well known for a lot of things, but there's some things people don't know about you, and one of them is that you have started over in the Phoenix area after being in Seattle for so many years. So tell me and tell my listeners a little bit about what's going on in your life right now.
Yeah, thanks for asking. I'm here with my wife, Grace, and we've got five kids, ages almost 12 to about 20, and so we moved to the greater Phoenix area a couple of years ago, and just over a year ago, as a family project, we planted a church, and so it really started around the dining room table, and when we planted our first church, we didn't have any kids yet. We were newly married, fresh out of college, and so we had relocated to the Scottsdale area. And the kids started saying, you know, let's plant a church. Let's do it together. Let's do it as a family project. So we started having these conversations around dinner. I thought, well, what better way to have a church that can minister to a whole family than have a family plant it? And so we started asking the kids, well, what do you want to call it? And they said, well, let's name it after Grandpa Gibb, which was Grace, my wife's dad. He pastored a church for 40-some years called the Trinity Church. And so we took a vote. Family said yes. So the trinitychurch.com was available for like $200, which was amazing. So we bought the domain. Went online, said, hey, we think we're going to plant a church, made a little announcement video Grace and I shot in our backyard. And then we had no idea where we were going to meet. And lo and behold, God provided a historic, mid-century, modern, great church building right off the major freeway. And the first time I heard about it, it wasn't yet on the market. I went there with my son, Gideon. It was right after batting practice. He's got his ball cap on, his baseball uniform on. We're walking around. And he says, Dad, it was at night. He said, I feel like this is going to be our building, Dad. I feel like this is the church building God wants our family to plant a church in. So I said, okay, little buddy, pray. So he takes off his hat, prays, and asks God to give us the building, and God did. And then the kids took the summer and did a lot of the demo and renovations. We're ripping out walls and carpet, and it was like, you know what happens when a church dies? They leave all their stuff, and then renters come through. By the end, it's like an episode of Church Hoarders. There's just stuff everywhere. And so we just kept throwing stuff away and cleaning it up. People joined us. Work crews joined us. And we launched just over a year ago. So it's been a fun family project. All the kids are serving in ministry and love the Lord. And honestly, doing it together as a family has been a super fun experience. And I was even curious for Thanksgiving here recently. We were all kind of giving thankful prayers, and most of the kids said they were really thankful for the church, and our youngest son was thankful that he could actually serve in the kids' ministry and work with the little kids, and one of our daughters helps lead worship, and so we're all kind of doing it together. I don't know if you'd add anything to that, baby.
No, it's just been a great journey and nice people and all the kids being able to participate in the different ministries in the church and serve and learn how to minister at every age that they're each at. It's been fun to watch them blossom and grow in the process.
Yeah, and you find too, wherever you live, there's God's people. You know, and when you move, you don't know who our friends going to be, what's our relationships going to be. And God's people are everywhere. And we have met some extraordinarily wonderful, loving, kind, joyful people and built relationships with them. And so, yeah, it's just good to know that God's people are everywhere. And when you get them together, it's actually pretty fun.
Well, you're very well known. You're on media everywhere. A lot of people know your story, but we don't know your kids. So you've got five children. Tell us about the kids. And you already mentioned a little bit about what they're doing in ministry, but maybe you could elaborate.
Yeah, you can tell. You brought them into the world, babe. You get to be the expert.
Well, our youngest does love, he's Gideon. He's almost 12. He loves to work with the kids ministry and younger kids, just playing with them and telling them about Jesus. He loves playing baseball, so he likes to do sports with the kids as well.
I'd say, too, he's got a spiritual gift of giving. Mm-hmm. He always carries extra money on him to buy kids lunch and buy presents. He's a super generous kid, loves to give, and it's just been really cool. He cares a lot about the Bible, and it's been interesting planting the church because we started it when he was like 10 or 11. He's got all these questions like, when are we going to add another service, and how many seats can we get, and how many parking? And as a little kid, he's starting to think about all these really practical aspects of ministry. He's thinking like a little associate pastor. So sometimes when we're riding in the truck, I call him my associate pastor, and he likes that.
Alexi is 14, and she really has enjoyed singing with the worship team. She started out singing with the students, and she sometimes does Sunday in the big service, and she loves being up there just worshiping the Lord and helping lead people in that. Then we have Calvin, who's almost 16, and he also enjoys helping out with the kids' ministry. He loves serving in almost any capacity. He helped with a lot of the build-out of the church and helping with ideas. He's more of a business side guy, so he likes understanding the money side and investments. And
yeah, how much we pay for the building, Dad? What's the mortgage? Did we get a good rate? These are the conversations with the teenage son who's running the numbers.
He's just a very kind-hearted kid, so he loves people. And then Zach, he is 18, and he's more of a teacher, so he enjoys teaching the Bible to the kids and helping them understand Jesus and the Bible and helping it come alive to them in whatever age they're at. And he has also done a lot of the building renovations and just serving in general. He loves doing service projects in the community as well. And then Ashley is 20, and she's in college, and she has joined us in all different capacities. She helps me a little bit with the women's ministry events that we do. She helps edit a lot of the writings that Mark does.
I'm the worst copy editor in the history of the world. I always feel like punctuation slows me down, and I have a lot to
no,
say.
No, we've had a few worse, I can promise you.
Yeah. Well, she's really smart. She's
and
helpful.
Isn't she also into linguistics?
Yeah, she also speaks Spanish. She's double majoring in Spanish and English with a linguistics master's, so she is...
Yeah, she's in an
real
honors.
Smart.
She's on an honors program with a full academic scholarship. Our oldest son is getting ready to graduate. He'll probably get the same thing. And yeah, she loves the Lord. Does a lot of mission work. Travels a lot. Is always on the road. Interned for World Concern for a while. And she's a Bible teacher. She just taught some gals through Ephesians on campus and developed a curriculum for college gals how to study the Bible. So they don't all feel called to ministry, but we all feel called to serve. And so it's been really, really fun to do it as a family and serve together. And I think sometimes what happens in the church, and I intend to get into this, but sometimes we think about where's the best program that I can put my kids in so that they can be served. And sometimes the best thing for your kids is to serve, to find a place to be involved where they're needed, where they're investing, where they're doing something. I don't know if there's a way to mature spiritually without serving. You know, and
right.
And that has really accelerated the kids' growth because when you start a church, there's no one to serve you. You're it. And so they've been
and
able to
serve. And
you get
to know the people that way because you're serving alongside other people and they didn't come with friends. So having that ability to serve alongside people and really get to know people.
Well, you know, this is amazing story about your children because this is not the typical preacher's kids.
Yeah, Grace was a preacher's kid.
And so am I. There were three of us. It's a miracle we're all saved. Yeah. My wife was one of seven.
Wow.
And a couple are very strong for the Lord, and a couple are very strong for the devil.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they're not listening. We pray for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so what did you guys do to make your kids turn out so great?
Well, we're in the fourth quarter. We hope it ends well. We haven't gotten to the end zone yet. Part of it is Grace's daddy was a pastor, and I think pastors' kids are just particularly, if they continue to walk with the Lord, they're particularly resilient. And so I would attribute a lot of their perseverance to Grace's character and her example. I think as well, growing up, we tried to make Bible time, prayer time fun, so that it wasn't like going to the dentist, you know, but it was fun. So I remember when they were little, I would read Bible stories and they would get all dressed up and act out the characters. And my one son, he always wanted to climb on high things. So he's like, let's do the story of Zacchaeus so he could climb up on the table, you know. So, but just letting them dress up, role play, have fun.
Trivia questions.
Yeah, make it fun. And so to me, I mean, I believe Christianity is about good news. And we tried to just present God and forgiveness of sin and life with Jesus and the Holy Spirit is good. It's good news. It's a good thing, and we should make good memories, and we should have a good time. And not that all of life is always that way, but for us, that's just kind of how we've lived it. And we're really blessed because the kids have a love for the scriptures. And that's not something that we pushed on them. We talk at dinner. What are you learning? It's more informal and conversational. But man, I think sometimes we estimate with children their ability to retain some scripture. It says of Timothy, you know, Paul says, you've known the scriptures since infancy of Timothy. It's like, when he was really little, some Bible got in him and it changed the course of his life. And so I think sometimes we underestimate the ability of even young children to grasp spiritual truth. And I think the Holy Spirit really wants to help them to get them established as early as possible. And so,
and we allow them to ask whatever questions about it without feeling ashamed that they don't know or that it seems like a silly question maybe to them. We let them ask those questions and dialogue it out and help them think about it and not just tell them what to think.
Yeah.
Mark Driscoll, you're a very interesting, complex person. And
that's a very sweet way to put it. Thank you, Steve.
And you are known for being a part of the emerging church, but I also think of you with Reformed theology. Mm-hmm. And now I hear that you hang out with people like Robert Morris and people like that. So where are you spiritually right now, and where is your church, Trinity Church in Phoenix?
Yeah, I've always been a Bible guy. So I grew up marginal Roman Catholic. Many Catholics know and love Jesus. I didn't. It wasn't the church's fault. I didn't have any bad experience. I just didn't care as a teenage kid. And it was my disinterest. I don't blame anyone for that. Grace, my best friend of 30 years and wife of 25, gave me a Bible at 17. I got saved reading that in college at the age of 19, just for actually a philosophy class. I had to read some Augustine, and it got me into Paul, and I got saved reading Romans. And so at that point, God saved me reading the Bible. Nobody led me to Christ. There wasn't an invitation or an altar call. And so everything for me started with the Bible, and I just love the Bible. I love studying the Bible. I love reading the Bible. I get bored so easy. I can't eat leftovers. I get bored easy. I never get bored with the Bible. Every time I read it, even if it's the same thing I've read multiple times, there's something fresh and new to me. And so I've always been a Bible teacher. I've taught through a couple dozen books of the Bible, preached them verse by verse. The longest, I think, was Luke that took 2 years. I did Genesis. I've done some long books of the Bible. But early on, got invited because I was young, and they had a young pastor's thing, so I got involved in that a little bit, and that morphed into something theologically that I didn't agree with, so I had to sort of back out of that. The people were nice, but I just didn't agree. And then I kind of ended up a little bit in what would be known as the Reformed world, but I'm not a five-point Calvinist, and most people don't even know what that means. I think the 5 points of Calvinism are actually weak.
The 5-point Calvinists know what it means, don't
they? Yeah, they know what it means, yeah, yeah. And everybody else is like, I don't know what we're talking about. But I still remain a Bible teacher, and I think every systematic theology or every team or tribe has strengths and weaknesses, and the Bible helps keep us balanced, moderated, and reasonable, and kind toward others. And so in more recent years, my friends, our friends, are more of charismatic Pentecostal tradition that, goodness gracious, loving, kind, fun, healthy marriages, warm relationship with the children, healthy family dynamics, and people that have loved us, encouraged us, served us, and people that we just find a lot of life from and we learn a lot from. So for me, I want to learn everything the Bible has to say. I want to experience everything that God promises. And anybody who loves the Lord and can help me see some things that I missed or learn some things that I need to know, I'm really, really grateful for that. I don't know what your thoughts would be, babe. I tend to read dead Reformed guys and hang out with living Pentecostal guys. So I like those relationships. And I don't know what it's been like, some of the charismatic Pentecostal leaders, honey, that we've had the privilege of getting to know with and walk with in more recent years.
Yeah, I mean, our core theology hasn't changed a bit, but with the new relationships, they've added
insight, understanding.
Yes, yeah. And grace and love and just some things that, you know, we really needed to grow in as well. And so we appreciate those people for investing in us, and they are very normal and they don't compromise on the word. They love Jesus just as much as we do. And there's not a barrier there. You know, we're all loving Jesus and wanting others to do the same. So just having them come alongside us and invest in us and teach us, you know, more fully what life is about has been amazing for us.
And a lot of times I think, you know this, Steve, leaders, even Christian leaders, will talk about each other, but they never talk to each other. So it's like they'll say all these things about someone, even possibly negative. Like, have you ever met him or talked to him? No, I have not. And we've got friends across so many teams and tribes. It's like, actually, I know the people that are criticizing the other person. Mm-hmm. And if they met each other, they'd actually love each other. Yeah. And there's tremendous unity and agreement. And sometimes, Steve, it even comes down to language. So like if you're in the, let's say that Reformed Calvinistic world, they love the word predestined. They love that word. You go over into the Charismatic Pentecostal world, you use the word predestined. They're like, oh, I don't like that word. You use the word destiny. And all the Charismatic Pentecostal folks are like, I love the word destiny. It's the same word. It's two ways of saying God's in charge of the future. You can use predestined or destiny, and we're talking about God has got a good future for you. And sometimes even we just use different words and we're talking about the same things, even out of the Bible. And so as you build relationship with people, you get to know them in a little bit of the language, because sometimes Reformed folks will be like, you know, in the sovereignty of God or in the providence of God. And then the Charismatic Pentecostal folks will say, well, God led us. It's all the same thing. Like, God was directing our steps. We're just using sometimes language that has a lot of baggage with it. But if you get to know the people and their heart and their love for the Lord and their commitment to the scriptures, you're like, I think we're saying the same thing, maybe just a little different lexicon sometimes.
Well, it's well known that Christians have been quibbling over terms and arguing with each other for really a couple centuries.
Yeah.
But now with the way the culture is going, it's almost like you're in or you're out.
Do you believe the Bible or not?
That's right. And so just talk to me a little bit, unpack a little bit about what that means to you.
Yeah, I think in the past there was, I like to talk about the difference between national borders and state borders. And, you know, we live in Arizona and here we are in Florida and we didn't have to pass through customs and we can come and go freely because it's different states but in the same country. Then there's national borders like Canada and Mexico and you got to go through customs and, you know, you need to get access and permission. In Christianity, I would say there are certain national issues that if you cross those borders, you're non-Christian. You're apostate or another religion, you're a cult, something else. But within Christianity, there's Baptists, Methodists, you know, Lutherans, Pentecostals, Charismatics, Presbyterians. Those are different states. But they need to understand those state borders are not as important as those national borders. Do you believe in the Trinity, Jesus, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus? I mean, do you believe in the Word of God? Some of those national borders. And I think what's happening is there's so much attack on the national borders that as Christians, we need to say, let's not fight over all the state borders. Let's focus a lot of our energy on the national borders because those are the things that we actually share in common. And those are the things that if we lose Christianity.
And Grace, what would you add to that?
I agree with that. I'm saddened by the arguments that go on in the Christian community. We need to be unified and fighting the enemy, not treating each other as enemies. And so, yeah, I think that's something that we've really, going forward, especially just really want to focus on that unity. And we hold to the same core essentials, but want to really love people. And Jesus did the same. A lot of people disagreed with people he hung out with, but he loved them, they loved him, and it's about loving each other and walking through that together.
And I think when Christians fight with Christians in front of non-Christians, the only person that wins is the devil. It's really hard to invite people to, you want to join our team? What's your team about? Loving relationship and forgiveness? Well, then why do you guys keep pounding on each other? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's bad advertising for good news.
Well, doesn't the scripture say they'll know we are Christians by our love?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And if you love not, you don't. What's that scripture mm-hmm. in 1 John?
Yeah, if you hate your brother, the truth is not in you. You know, this is how we know who the children of God are, the children of the devil are. I mean, he continues in 1 John to talk about love. I think he says the word love like 40 times in 5 chapters, and it's the constant mark of the Christian. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You know that you're walking with God when love comes out of you. And that means relationship, I think. I mean, it is getting to know someone, and you can either make a point or make a difference. To make a point, you don't need to know anybody. To make a difference, you need to build a relationship. And that's what love is. That's what love does.
Well, it'd be wonderful if the entire body of Christ could learn this, and I guess many people do know it, and we just have to keep talking about it, encouraging each other. But it's just amazing that when you get to know someone, it's hard to stay mad at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say that's my failure as well, as a young, sort of aggressive, you know, wanting to be biblical pastor, becoming more strident, becoming more judgmental. And being on the other side of that, you realize, okay, I need to grow and mature in that. So I'd say, you know, that is a fault in my history that I hope is a correction in my future.
So Grace, I'll give you the last word.
Oh, I am so thankful for the journey God has taken us on and just being able to have our family intact. And we didn't know what was in our future, but God has opened those doors very clearly to us. And we're thankful that He's done that so we can be together and walking with Jesus and helping others do the same.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and I hope that you will tune in again for the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.